We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's up? It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Welcome back, Ian.
Thanks, guys.
Did you crash some wedding?
You were wedding crasher? I crashed a wedding. In Ellensburg, I was gone last week, and it was fun. It was really warm over there, I think. Nobody really noticed, but I think it reached a high of like 94 degrees.
Damn.
Over in Ellensburg on last Saturday.
I'm sure you were keeping properly hydrated with some beverages of choice.
You know, I've never had like the Kirkland signature beer, like the light beer.
The Costco Kirkland signature pallets of beer.
Kirkland signature everything, including beer. And it's like comes in a nondescript like gray box.
Yeah.
And it's all right.
It's all right? It's better than Genesee?
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic, guys.
You can see
you should totally go drink it.
Fill in the blank of what you think Ian's reaction actually off microphone is.
Go have a Kirkland Light.
It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. What's the episode? Is this like 60?
I think 60.
Is this 69?
This is 69.
69. Yay. Welcome back for the 69. What's your favorite moment 69-ing in your life?
Oh, my God. Wiping the butt smell off my nose.
You have any?
I'm gonna have to bleep.
You have
that
any
out.
Interesting 69 moments throughout your life?
No. I don't want to know about Ryan's bearded 69 moments of all things.
It itches.
Well, as usual, we're all going to hell.
Hey, what's up?
So I'm glad to be back in this terrible triumvirate that we call Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
That just rolls off the tongue. Terrible triumvirate. Ooh. Sounds spooky.
What's that, 7-8 syllables?
Yeah, man. You're a quick-witted motherfucker.
If only Scrabble paid off in real life.
Triumvirate right now? That'd be like a 64-point fucking go. Damn.
You're like, yep, well, you just won a game, but you still suck at regular life. So what'd you guys do this week? Or the last couple weeks, I guess I've been gone for a little while.
Yeah, what have you been up to,
What have you guys been doing?
What have I been doing? I went and saw a pretty sweet show the other night, Cattle Decapitation, totally f***ing ruled.
Nice.
They're a great band, and they just, for me, I honestly think they keep getting better. Awesome live band. And just did a bunch of work, did a bunch of housekeeping this week, nothing too exciting.
Housekeeping?
But, yeah, that Cattle Decapitation record is f***ing sick, so I've been diving into that after seeing them. So it's good times, man.
Nice.
What about you, Ryan?
Well, last night I was sitting around kind of reading some comic books, playing a little guitar, and I got this phone call out of the blue from Max, and hey, oh man, what are you doing today?
What's up? I just took like 17 dabs.
Yeah, hey, it's Max.
And he's just in full Jimmy Fallon mode, you know, oh my God. So anyway, he hit me up to go to this a soft opening for a German beer hall. That's located over in Queen Anne.
And, sick.
It's pretty cool.
Did you eat the bratwurst?
They had it was a really, really cool space. It really felt, it's like a 500 person restaurant. And
what? No, are you serious?
Yeah,
500 damn.
Yeah,
damn.
It's a, it's a
mess hall.
Massive, massive area. And it looks, seriously, looks like a 100-year-old German beer hall. It's freaking awesome. So went in there, ate like a $50, $60 meal for 10 bucks, which was
Did you have any of the good beers?
Yeah. Yeah, all the beers were all traditional.
Did they show up to you like warm, like room temperature? Because that's when my dad went to Europe. Like, my dad grew up motorcycling through Europe.
That is a good way to grow up, it seems.
Absolutely.
Like.
And he would say that, like, when you'd go through European countries, they'd serve your like stein of beer room temperature. Like, it wouldn't be chilled.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, they had the option.
Oh. So you could have it just regular.
Yeah.
Regular style.
Which is cool.
Room temperature beer?
Yeah.
So you
it's supposed to be room temperature to warm. Even.
So you can taste it better or something? Or like what?
It's just the way it was, man. Think about it. Like, refrigeration just started 80 years ago, 100 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Beer has existed for many millennia before that.
Fair enough. It's the classic way to drink
a
beer.
We've all been getting wasted for a long time.
I feel it. Ian, what have you been up to, man?
I went to the Puyallup Fair this week.
Yeah?
That was cool. I saw Heart.
Oh, did you go to that?
How was Heart?
It was f***ing sweet.
That's badass,
dude,
man.
Dude, did you see the baby pigs? I love the little piglets.
I saw the baby pigs. What I missed was seeing every couple of years they have like a little mini like Indy 500 style track where they race the baby piglets.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find, I couldn't find it this year, but they had like the little baby piglets hanging with the mamas, little petting zoo, the whole thing. They have like little cats displays and the dog displays and the fucking Clydesdale horses that are like three times taller than me.
Oh yeah.
And I'm afraid to even walk through there because they could just like back kick you in the fucking face and your head would like fly off your shoulders.
I always like going and checking out the chickens, like the chicken contest, because they always have those weird looking chickens with the afros and things.
Little, like weird plumage.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you. You're a fucking weird looking chicken.
Yeah, man. Dude. Get baked and go look at some weird birds.
Speaking of weird, I wanted to see Weird Al the other night at the fair. That was what I really wanted to go see.
That was the night before I went.
Really?
But, I mean, like, apparently Weird Al does the fair every year.
Yeah.
Really?
So.
Well, next year, bro.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
I've never seen Weird Al. I've been trying to see Weird Al for, like, 10 years now, man.
Living in an Amish paradise.
From what I heard, like, he was bringing out, like, he was pulling out all the stops. He had a bunch of stormtroopers on stage.
Smells like Nirvana.
Dressed up like Darth Vader.
That kicks ass.
Singing all kinds of weird stuff.
I lost on Jeopardy.
So, yeah, I mean, Puyallup Fair is always cool. It's been a few years since, I think the last time I went was with you.
Yeah.
In, like, 3 years back,
I think.
13, 2012?
I don't know. I think it's probably 2012.
I went last year, and I had a great time, man. It was awesome.
It's fun to get sconed.
Yeah. I mean,
love getting sconed.
I don't think that you can do, as a grown-up, you can't do a fair, you can't have the fair experience without spending, like,
$100.
At least $100.
Yeah.
Per person.
And
minimum.
Half of that's just on food that's terrible for you. But that's cool because you got to just pig
and the
out,
rides.
Man. You got to pig out when you go to the fair because they got all the worst shit for you, but it's so wonderful. You could just splurge on your body. If you're going to have a cheat day and you're on a diet, make sure your cheat day is the day you go to the fair because then that's a motherfucking cheat day.
What did I eat? I think I went to the barbecue. Like, they have the big Pete's barbecue where you walk by.
Yeah.
They have them all like on those wooden slabs. They're all cooking right there. I think I had that. What else did I have?
Krusty Pup.
You know, you walk by the booth where they're selling f***ing fried butter.
Oh, yeah. I had
a
fried Snickers bar.
On a stick.
Fried Snickers bar is bomb.
But the fried butter stand is just the fried butter stand. That's all they sell.
Oh, really?
They don't sell anything else.
I've never had
just
fried butter.
Just fried butter.
I'm not going to discount the fact that it might be wonderful to taste, but
if I was working the fried butter stand, I would be like, I would intentionally feel like a f***ing eco-terrorist. I'd be like, all right, fatties, come on over here. I'm going to kill all of y'all before your time.
Who's heart ready to stop?
Come on over here.
Did you guys hear about
deaths all around?
Hershey's issued a statement, I think it was a few years back, about how they do not condone fried Snickers and things like that.
I bet.
Because they just said, we're not trying to be that unhealthy. We don't condone people.
A couple of years ago, I got a fried Oreo, and even that.
So good.
It was awesome, but I took one bite and went, oh, God damn it. What is this creation you've created?
And I was like, hey, Ian, can I get a bite of that?
Nope.
Dude, this is what I had at f***ing Hemp Fest, was one of those burgers, cheeseburgers, with Krispy Kremes as the bun.
Oh, man.
That was stoner-rific. It was heinous the day after, but while I was eating it, yeah.
How did you not get bad heartburn?
I don't get heartburn. I don't get heartburn. I don't know. It's weird. No, I don't get heartburn.
You don't get heartburn, but one day your stomach's just going to open up like the
pretty f***ing
Red Sea, and you're going to get an ulcer the size of a f***ing half dollar.
Do you get heartburn?
Sometimes, yeah. Depending on what I eat.
I got flaming f***s a lot, but I don't get heartburn.
It's for me, it's like really high caffeinated stuff, like drinking a lot of coffee will like just maybe go, oh, I feel like I want to kill myself.
Like bad food, heartburn instantly.
Where's my bowl of coffee?
Any guys lactose intolerant?
No,
I've noticed a slight lactose intolerance as I've gotten older, but dude, I just do it anyways.
I have the best story really about nasty. That. I was working making burritos when I was going to college, and this dude would walk in. You know, I was stoned all the time, and this dude would walk in and just go. And he'd order and be like, so what kind of cheese do you want? And he's like, no, I don't want any cheese. And
you'd be like, cool, what? Cheddar, right?
You don't want cheese? Like, whoa, cheese
what do you
is
mean,
awesome.
Man? This
what?
Is a burrito.
And the dude went, nah, dude, I'm lactose intolerant. And went, oh, that sucks. Bummer.
Well, this, here's some cheddar.
Dude, this interaction happened like 4 times in a row over the course of a month.
Down. It's not a huge deal. You never met someone who's lactose intolerant?
Well, you know, stoned me kept forgetting, and eventually the guy just stopped coming in because I think I bummed him out too much.
So what kind of cheese do you want?
I don't want any f***ing cheese!
Dude, I have f***ing diabetes! I'm gonna f***ing die! If you give me a piece of cheese, I don't know what cheese has to do with diabetes.
Next time you give me cheese, I'm gonna s*** the burrito out and bring it back and lay it right here on the counter. Right here for you, Beardo.
You want to know something else? I have to wear Depends. Because a motherfucker's like you who put cheese in my goddamn sub all the fucking time. Fuck you.
Can someone refill my bowl of coffee? I'm trying to serve Ryan up with a little...
Hey, Ryan, you... You said you love that word so much.
Yeah, can we get that properly edited this time?
You are such a fucking...
Dude, that... There. I was pissed about something last week. I don't remember what it was. But
you were
was
pissed about that chick who pretended she had cancer to get a bunch of money.
Oh, that's right.
She's a counterfeit.
I know, of all things.
But you were just...
I'm glad you guys talked about
that. You used it a lot. You were just dropping a lot of...
Well, you know, it's not a word I use very often, but that's the most appropriate word for that woman.
But every time you've used it this year, it just happens to be last week on the podcast.
The argument, though, like, is that word appropriate
for a man to use?
Ever, right? It's like saying some of the forbidden words. Like, that's borderline. I remember, dude, I used that word in front of my mom once when I was young.
Oh,
and she was
dude.
Really, like... It was one of those things where as soon as I said it, I knew it was one of the forbidden words because of the reaction she had. I was like, oh, that's one of those things you just don't f***ing say.
She just cries. She just goes in her room and cries.
I'm raised a terrible man.
It's one, yeah, because, you know, when you're a kid, you just hear words fly around and, like, you start to test boundaries.
Yeah.
And then you out with one of those, like, it's like Ralphie in The Christmas Story.
Yeah.
You say, fudge. And you got,
where
like,
did you learn that?
You hear on the other side of the phone, kid's mom just beat the shit out of him.
Or even worse, I'm not mad, I'm just ashamed.
I'm not mad, you just get to live in the basement for the next 3 years.
You've just betrayed me.
Eternally so, yeah, in life. I can see it right now in Ian's autobiography, and it was in that moment that I earned my nickname, Sketchy Ian.
I was telling Ian when we lived together that I would create a Sketchy Ian like page on Facebook.
Oh.
So it would just be pictures that
you
I
should have done it.
Catch of you like taking bong rips while drinking a 40, like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like taking it at 10 a.m. You like. With like just hanging up
my
weed
shirt
in the
off.
Apartment
yeah.
with your shirt off,
with my cat like.
Does your cat look at you like he's judging you sometimes?
Dude, if my
just
cat
like, what is wrong with you?
If my cat had the ability to talk, in fact, somebody that I was hanging out with the other day was like, "Dude, if your cat could talk, you'd be f***ed." And it's very true.
And we would know what was inside of your wall.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Remember, we were over at your house. We heard a bunch of noise.
It's
coming from inside the wall, and your cat just like
you got
immediately.
Next time that happens, I'm just gonna shoot the fucking wall out. Just with a shotgun.
It's a child living in your walls.
I think I bought my house.
Sweet, dude.
You bought your house.
Yeah.
Huh.
We got two homeowners in this room.
You think you bought your house. Did that's
not,
that's,
it's should... not for sure, but I think I got it.
You think you're doing it.
I'm pumped. I'm set.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We got party two homeowners here, so now I just feel like a loser.
Party at Ryan's place forever.
Always.
We're going to come to your underground bunker when the shit goes down.
Bitch, I love you.
Hey, between your guns and my thick walls, we're set.
Ryan, did you say you have thick walls?
Yep.
That's what she
thick
said.
Walls? Thick walls, thick doors.
Thick walls so all the bitches through. Can't scream when I cut their throats.
Jesus Christ, dude. What the f***?
That's what you were telling me the other day. Right?
I got thick walls.
Don't pawn off your weird fetishes on me. What's
hey,
wrong
bro,
with you?
I've just been hanging out with Chris Barnes too much lately.
Tired.
I got thick walls, bitch. This just in. Well, my hair is sticking up too. Why didn't anybody say I look like a weirdo? Anyway, it's time for the news on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Did you watch the new South Park episode?
I haven't yet this week.
They definitely referred to rape. Get this. They referred to rape as a hot Cosby.
What? Jesus Christ. Who? Okay. First of all, who listens to this podcast that would be like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense?
It's pretty bad.
A hot Cosby.
Yeah, one of the kids referred to it as that. So,
Jesus Christ.
Okay, back to the metal news. Going.
Hey, how about this? Let's just try that again. Anyway, time for metal news.
Woo!
I don't know what a hot Cosby is, and I don't want to know. So, what's going on in the news this week?
Wow. Extreme Noise Terror is going to be releasing a self-titled record.
I blame you.
It's coming out November 5th, 2015. It's been 6 years since they put out anything, and it's been recorded at Springvale Studios, and it's going to be released pretty sweet, I guess. I don't know.
Grindy goodness.
I haven't heard anything from it, but they're longtime grindcore fucking to-the-core DIY kind of band, you know, so I can't expect anything more than blistering grind. 13 songs. Yeah.
Anytime I see somebody or meet somebody who's like, yeah, have you ever heard of Extreme Noise Terror? I'm like, oh, you're one of f***ing those guys.
You're into some gnarly sh-. You like audio diarrhea. Let's be friends.
Okay, I get it's Metal Allegiance, not Metal Alliance.
Yep, Metal Allegiance.
Ryan.
Ian's getting it right. So anyway, they just put out a new music video for their song Gift of Pain. And that's going to be featuring Megadeth drummer Dave Ellison, Testament's Alex Skolnick, and Mike Portnoy, formerly of Dream Theater.
And yeah, this guy you know from this band called Lamb of God. Mike Portnoy has like 75 cymbals. This is sweet.
I can dig it, man.
These guys have been doing like a bunch of meet and greets and stuff all over the place.
Awesome.
I wonder if they're ever going to do any touring or anything.
Maybe they can come up to Metal Shop and meet and greet us.
Man,
hey
that'd
guys,
be so cool.
Nice to meet and greet you.
Just to do a Testament, Lamb of God, and whatever this project Mike Portnoy is in now. I'll have all three of them go on tour together and then just have everybody do a thing.
That'd be sweet.
And have Megadeth come along too, and Dave can just like stay in his own tour bus.
Fine with me.
Yeah. In some bummer news, we have to report it, though. Bolt Thrower drummer Martin Kearns has passed away on Monday. It was reported that Martin Kitty Kearns passed away at the age of 38. He was in Bolt Thrower two times, and that was over a 20-year span. So he was a longtime member of Bolt Thrower, most recently playing shows with them as early as like a month and a half ago. So he passed away at age 38, and obviously we'll be reporting as the info comes in. But I'd just like to say rest in power to Martin Kearns. We're going to be playing some Bolt Thrower and definitely paying tribute to him, and our thoughts are with the family.
I gotta say, that's like just the strangest phenomena in terms of like metal and rock musicians. Because most artists in general are pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Especially the good ones.
Tortured artist syndrome.
So it's the kind of thing where like we don't know what his like demons were or whatever. But a lot of these dudes, they just die far too early. Like I've been listening to a lot of No Use for a Name. Mm-hmm. Tony Sly died 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
Of an OD, you know, at 46, wow. Accidentally. Mm-hmm. So it's this kind of thing where, like, you guys leave this whole legacy of, you know, musical possibility that could have happened out there. So I wonder what's going to happen with Bolt Thrower. I know they were just kind of getting it back together. They played Seattle at Numo's. They played Vancouver recently, earlier this year, up in Canada.
Yeah.
So they were doing stuff again.
Yeah, man. So, hey, Ian, do you like the whole internet guitar nerd thing? Are you into it?
In terms of what?
In terms of, you know, just YouTube shredders who are just covering awesome songs and, like, doing nerdy stuff.
I like it when it's, like, new things I haven't seen before.
Yeah, when it's done well. Well, that brings me over to this Castlevania Goes Heavy Metal that, we just found out about the other day.
It's so good.
There's this guy named Eric Calderon who's been doing all these awesome nerdy covers of all kinds of stuff. And he was kind of at the front of, you know, that whole nerd guitarist thing. And he picked up, and so now there's all these people who are kind of picking up and doing similar things with it. And
it's about time, dude.
Yeah, it's really, really cool stuff. And I'm really glad that somebody did this Castlevania cover because it's awesome. Very, very cool.
You know, I'm just going to let this play, and I got a couple of theories about this kind of thing.
Okay.
First of which is being kids like, or I guess not kids, people like this who are about his age are the kind of people who grew up playing NES games as children.
Yeah.
So it's about that time, you know, as these kids have grown up and learned how to
shred.
Yeah. I'm not surprised balls. That stuff like this is popping up where they're like, dude, I grew up on this game. And the second of which is like the Japanese composers for these games were like way far ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah.
Composing 8-bit f***ing masterpieces.
Yeah.
That these dudes are turning, like, this guy's not the first to do it. Who's the other band? Power Gloves.
Yeah.
Done the bunch. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people have done, like, video game covers, especially of, like, Castlevania, Mega Man X, a bunch of the early Japanese NES games. It's f***ing awesome, and I think...
Dig Dug!
It's a whole new genre.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
And the dude, I read an interview with Koji Kondo a while back, who is the guy who did all the music for Zelda, Super Mario, a lot of those early Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the direction that video game music has gone in. And he was saying how with all the new Super Mario games, they don't write anything new.
Right.
It's all just the same stuff.
It's a rehash. Yeah.
Yeah. They just kind of move things around a little bit. And he's...
Huh.
He was talking about how bizarre it is that in the video game world, it's one of the only spots where the same song is used repetitively and just rewritten over and over and over and over again. It's really, really interesting article, man.
Nice.
So this right that we're listening to right now is an 8-minute montage that has like 7 different Castlevania songs in it from different video games. And they're all awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing certain NES games, and when a certain song would come on, you'd be like, oh, shit, it's about to go down, like, and then the boss would come out and be like, dun, 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 it would get all serious.
Yeah.
So.
Have you ever been to one of those video game composer shows?
Like, no.
It's like 8-bit shows, and all these guys program music with their gray brick Game Boys and this cartridge called LSDJ. They just plug the Game Boy into the PA system and just like do their thing on the Game Boy.
So it's
freaking
like
awesome.
Retro.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we could go on for another 7 minutes with that at this point, but Castlevania, heavy metal Castlevania. That's awesome.
Black Dolly Murder is going to be coming to town pretty soon with Maruta, as well as Harmsway, and what's the other band? The side project of Municipal Waste? Iron Reagan.
Iron Reagan.
They're going to be coming to Elcor Zone to gear up to get ready for that show by hearing the new Black Dolly Murder record. You can stream it at metalunderground.com. The record is coming out September 18th. Actually, wait, hold on. It came out yesterday. So if you want a free preview of it, just go over to metalunderground.com, and the tour is going to be coming up soon, so learn those songs. Songs, bitch.
Man, that's a tough lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be actually October 15th. We got the date.
Sick.
At Elcor Zone.
Sick.
Glad to see Harm's Way touring with a bunch of metal bands. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can see them getting huge with that crowd.
Yeah, they're going to do really well. They're going to
sell a lot of long
unless
sleeves,
they beat
man.
Up the entire crowd.
Both. They'd be like, dude, that guy punched me in the face.
That's sick.
I need to buy their shit.
He killed me in a positive way.
Man, I hope we don't have more of those hardcore versus metal guy fights at that show.
I wonder.
I can't stand this,
I don't
man.
Think it's gonna. It's gonna draw a huge metal crowd. Nobody's. It's not gonna be like that. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be a repeat. So, did you guys talk about the Cynic, the band Cynic,
a bit,
and the rumors kind of last week at all on the podcast?
We talked about how members had been locked out of certain Facebooks and like stuff like that. So we talked about the upcoming potential breakup, but we didn't have any information really confirmed about that.
Yeah, and now it looks like, sadly enough, they have confirmed that they are officially disbanding. They've canceled all their upcoming tour dates.
Bummer.
Which is a huge, mega bummer.
Well, absolutely.
It's weird because... okay, so it's been their drummer and their vocalist slash guitar player who have been the two dudes who have been in the band like since the beginning.
Yeah.
So those are the two dudes that are feuding back and forth.
And that is Cynic.
Yeah, that's right. Like the 50-50 yep. Cynic deal.
Right. And so Sean Reinhard was recently replaced, who was the drummer, who was, you know, the other 50%. And then Paul Masvidal, just this week, who was the guitar player singer, reissued kind of a strange Facebook. I guess not strange, but he said, "Dear fans and friends, this is all news to me. I just landed from Japan,
yeah,
and my inbox was exploding. Sean didn't confer with myself or Malone about Cynic's official breakup or the tour being canceled. I'm honestly somewhat relieved it's finally over, since it's been quite challenging over the years, but I'm also trying to figure out how to possibly salvage this tour with a new drummer, since the damage he's causing by pulling out at this last minute is inconceivable for me at the moment. Please share this message with our friends, blah, 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 blah. I apologize. Cynic will continue one way or another." So
it
sounds like it fell apart.
Yeah, well, it fell apart in a big kind of way. In this new statement that they've issued, it says, he's quoted as saying, "Cynic is no longer an active band. Due to artistic and personal differences, the second chapter in, quote-unquote, the Book of Cynic has come to an end. I will say the last shows we played in Japan have left me with a positive charge, even though they were the last live performances with Paul, Sean Malone, and I on the same stage." So this is kind of a... And that was from Sean Reinhard. I apologize. And so it's kind of a bummer, man.
Part two is over.
Yeah.
It happens, man, when you've been a band for that long.
Well, maybe in another 10 years they'll get back together and be like, "All right, we'll make something else for all these prog kids to copy off of for the next 10 years.
Guys like this, they're getting older, man. So what in 10 years, they're going to be in their late 50s?
Let's hope it's not the last chapter for Cynic. But right. If so, they put out some great music. Elvete is going to be doing an acoustic record. This is actually going to be their second acoustic album, so you should definitely go and check out. It's available on YouTube for their first acoustic record. If you like some chill stuff, some really pretty music, Elvete definitely kind of throws it in there and peppers it in with their music.
God knows
their regular
enough,
records.
Like, they got enough instrumentals.
Exactly. But if you want to hear them go straight out like that, kind of folky, you got to listen to the acoustic stuff. They're going to be doing an all acoustic tour in Switzerland, so they're not going to be coming here for that. But you know, maybe if the record gets enough good reviews, so check it out.
You guys ever been at like a house party or a show?
Never been to a party.
No. Okay. Never. Never mind that.
Kevin doesn't party. He doesn't have friends.
You ever been at one though, like where their neighbors called the cops, or like it was just too loud and shit got real?
I'm from Kent, man.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. You and I think we
the MIP control patrol.
Plenty of time running from cops through backyards and jumping fences and
one time I
et cetera
at Lake Meridian. One time I got on a boat and we just the cops came in, so we got on his boat, turned all the lights off, and just like went to the middle of the lake and stayed there for like half an hour.
That's just awesome.
In the middle of the night
and just sat there floating.
Yep. Anyways. Continue.
I was at a house party on a ridge at a burned down house.
Wow.
And there was like 10 of us there, and it was a Friday night.
Sounds sketchy.
And it was like right before my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the kind of thing where like five people are there and cell phones like just came out.
Yeah, the so Nokia brick phones.
Right, everybody had a phone. So it's like, what's going on tonight? What's going on tonight? When people actually used to fucking call each other to see what's going on.
Hey, you just called to talk.
So, you know, five people turn into 25 people, which turn into 50 people, which turn into like 100 fucking people.
Wait, there's a fucking party? You got beer?
Yeah, there was
Budweiser's?
Beer. Holy, there's beer party, guys. So we roll up to the, we're at, I was the one who started this thing, so I guess it was kind of my fault in the first place. But we roll up, and my buddy walks around the corner, and like 19 cop cars go, shunk, with all the lights flip up on him. He's got a bong in one hand and a bottle of rum in the other hand. Just standing there like deer in the and everyone else sees it and they all start running off through the woods.
Yep.
And the helicopters are flying around,
dude,
with infrared tracking.
Yeah.
And they picked everyone out of the woods.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They knew exactly where everyone was.
See,
and this was 15 years ago, dude.
Jesus.
That happened at our high, at one of the other high schools.
That's
in my town.
Brutal.
In Montana, the high school keggers, the senior keg is like a big, big deal. Everybody sells t-shirts, it raises a ton of money.
Right.
My school's senior keg, we had I think it was 25 plus kegs, and it was a 3-day event.
Jesus
out in the middle
Christ.
Of the woods. Yeah, getting messed up. And so the trick is you got to do it in Forest Service area.
Right.
Like you got to get out of the jurisdiction of the city police, because the Forest Service really doesn't give a
of course not.
And so you just pitch a rancher or something.
You just have better luck.
Yeah, you pitch a rancher or something like $100 or so to use some land that he doesn't give about, and you just get buck. Anyway, so one of the other high schools messed up on their map and threw their party inside of city jurisdiction. So they got busted. It was a whole bunch of cop. It was like right on the border between city jurisdiction and Forest Service. So they got busted by Forest Service on one side, city cops on the other, two helicopters, same deal, picking everybody. They lined them all up, and the cops turned it into a game show. Just like, are you getting an MIP?
Come on down. Yeah.
Shot all the kegs.
They shot them?
They shot the kegs.
Only in Montana.
Shot the kegs.
Only in Montana.
Yeah,
because
dude,
then you have to pay the deposit on every one of the
exactly.
kegs.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was walking down the hill with my buddy Greg, and I was drinking a Bud or something in my hand, and we're walking down the hill, and I'm just like expecting to get back down to the car and have somebody drive me home, and he stops and goes, "Hey, dude, it's a cop." And I'm like walking down, drinking the beer still.
Hold up.
Like, what'd you say? He goes, "Dude, it's a cop."
It's a.
And I look up, and at that point, I see like the entire scene of all 70 of my friends getting arrested. And I was like, "Holy shit." So I looked over and it was like 30 feet, like, you know, sticker bush wall. So I took, it was a full beer, and I just chucked it deep into the sticker bushes. Like, imagine how hard you can throw a full beer deep into some sticker bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops see me and they all go, "Hey!" Because that was the only evidence they had against me, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, "You better go get that beer. You better go climb in there and get that beer." So I'm like, okay, we'll walk over to sticker bush. I'm kind of like trying to like pull through it all slow. And in the meantime, I'm like pulling bags of weed out of my pocket and like sticking them in the bushes so I can come back and get it later. Oh.
Did you come back? Did you go back and get your
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did you get an MIP for the beer?
No.
Awesome.
Awesome.
The only dude who got one is the dude who walked around the corner with the bong and the bottle. The first guy who walked around the corner.
Dude, I wish somebody had a picture of that, of this kid just standing there.
And so every year, like at the very first assembly of the year, there was always a senior like video they'd put together. And that year it was a parody of that party. And they like had fake cops show up and arrest this dude who was like the one guy who got caught. Because everyone else got away, dude. It was like half the senior class was at this thing. Anyway, sorry, Mom.
Yeah, that's... We always got away with it. We always had a rule. We had this really, really big fat kid at our school, and he got invited to all the parties because the rule was you don't have to be the fastest kid. You just have to be. You just can't be the slowest kid.
Yeah, it's like running from a wild animal.
And so this one dude got arrested for MIP like four times because everybody else would get away.
But guys, come back!
Sorry, Keith.
Where's your fucking money, Keith?
Where's the fucking money, Keith?
Anyway, so what was the point
of this? The reason I even
brought this up. We digress. Let's bring this on after. Imagine if that was on air. That'd be like a 20-minute on-air break.
Yeah, 20-minute break. So AC/DC played a show in Wrigley at Wrigley Field, and they got like 15 or 20 fucking noise complaints. AC/DC played at Wrigley Field and got noise complaints.
That's ridiculous.
So the question, the first thing I have to say is fucking
so stupid.
The second thing is, yeah, it was residents that lived like north and northwest of the ballpark, so that's probably like right where it opens up into the neighborhood.
What punks.
What do you want to do? Like put a fucking bunch of AC/DC's playing tonight. For those about to rock, shut the fuck up.
Seriously.
So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. If AC/DC is getting noise complaints, I don't feel too bad about my house parties getting broken up.
So, speaking of old people, Bruce Dickinson recently stated that the first Iron Maiden album, quote-unquote, sounded like a sack of shit.
Ah, Paul Di'Anno, he's hating on you.
Well, hey.
He's also hating on all the other members, so.
So, he says that he doesn't...
It's a different time in music, man.
He says that he doesn't understand why some of the group's early musical output is being described as quote-unquote punky, saying that there is no way on God's green earth Maiden were ever, ever, even remotely a punk band.
Well, yeah. Iron Maiden, dude.
Duh. No brainer. So he went on to say, if you look at all the old Steve Harris interviews, he hates punk rock. The first Maiden album sounded punky because it sounded like a sack of shit. He hates that record. The first singer, Paul Di'Anno, gave it a little bit of that kind of vibe, but the punk thing was nailed to the band by the press. The band absolutely hated it because there was no way on God's green earth Maiden were ever even remotely a punk band. As soon as Killers came out, which was a proper sounding record, it was obvious. Where's the punk thing on Killers? You've got Murders in the Rue Morgue, which basically could have been off of Deep Purple's In Rock. You've got Prodigal Son, a proggy sweet little ballad, and you've got Twilight Zone, all this kind of stuff. Where's the punk thing? I don't get it.
Yep, well, he's right.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, if Steve Harris is obviously kind of like the brainchild behind Iron Maiden, so if he's like, I hate the punk rock, then obviously Iron Maiden's not a fucking punk band.
Yeah.
I think the story here is just Bruce Dickinson saying the first record sounded like a sack of shit.
Hysterical. Hey, you kids with your mohawks and Liberty spikes, get off my lawn.
Your punkiness. Marty Friedman is joined by audience member in Philly for some onstage shredding, which is pretty sweet. September 12th, Marty Friedman had a dude at the North Star Bar and Grill in Philly come on stage. His name is Christian Nestor. You can check out the video, and we'll play a little bit right now.
See if we can get fast forward to him. This is the guy that jumped out. Now they're trading off.
Awesome.
Marty Friedman's giving him the keep going, keep going.
This dude's kind of ripping Marty Friedman a new one.
This is great. I love watching videos like this.
It's cool. It's just got a different style. Playing some blues riffs.
Did you see that video a year or so ago? That dude tearing Steve Vai apart?
No.
It's awesome. Steve Vai just gets so stoked.
I love seeing stuff like this. Like, what's the one? The other one recently was where, like,
obviously not the same caliber when Steel Panther like invited the 12-year-old kid to jump up on stage.
Yeah.
And he just like ripped them apart too. I love that stuff, dude.
Did you see the video of Steel Panther? It was the dude from Yellow Card, and he was hanging out with some chick from American Idlers. He was hanging out with Kelly Clarkson, and the guys from Steel Panther called him both on stage to do Sweet Child of Mine.
Wow.
And Kelly Clarkson f***ing destroyed it, drunk as shit. And she was doing the harmonies and nailing the hell out of it. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah, she did a great job.
She made the dude from Yellow Card look f***ing useless as shit. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
It was the violin player.
I'm not an American Idol or anything.
Was it the violin player from Yellow Card? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Have you guys ever been to Bend, Oregon?
Yeah, no, not Bend.
No,
I've been to
like
a lot
that.
Of places in Oregon, but not Bend.
I think I was 15 the first time I played Bend, Oregon when I was in Farewell to the Fallen, which was a weird time in my life. And it's a very strange place where not much of shit goes on. So it's kind of cool to see that Sean Drover, former Megadeth drummer, is going to be teaching a drum clinic down in Bend, Oregon. So if you're in the area or if you feel like going on a road trip or doing something with your life for once.
And you got $80 to burn.
Yep, $80, the drum and guitar shop at in Bend, Oregon. Somebody, some kid's life is going to get fucking altered by that. Mark my words. Some kid's going to go, Dad. I gotta go to this thing.
Let me go.
And he's gonna go, remember the time I saw Sean Drover in Bend, Oregon?
Nobody's ever gonna remember the time they saw Butcher Babies in a few years. But if you like Butcher Babies...
Unless you saw them with the nipple tape.
It's true. I'm just giving them shit. These band,
not really.
In a recent interview with Guess Which Magazine... Revolver, Butcher Babies, Heidi Shepherd and Carla Harvey were talking about the period in the band's history when they did the whole like nipple tape. They did like little X's over their nipples, kind of like a bikini barista slash Wendy O from Plasmatic style kind of thing. They said it was 6 years ago. It was only 6 month period where they were doing it, but they keep getting like flyers where they try and promote them with the, you know, their boobs out and the nipples getting covered. They haven't done it for a long time.
Hey, here's a reason to pay attention to our band.
So they're not like discouraging like talking about it, or they're not like ashamed of it, but they're like, we're so much more.
Hey guys, we made it.
They're really not.
I mean, I could launch into some like idiotic,
awful.
You know, the knee-jerk reaction is launch into some idiotic misogynistic
yeah
about how, oh, you're only here for your looks and whatever, but dude, you used that as your fucking gimmick for 5 years plus, and now you're gonna go, sorry, we're artists now.
Somebody take us seriously.
Okay. Go right ahead. Whatever. Metallica has a beer.
Yeah.
It's not really a Metallica beer. They just were like, hey, Budweiser, can you put our name on your beer?
Beer company Labatt.
Oh, Labatt. So, yeah.
So Labatt is owned by Anheuser-Busch?
Canadian. Yeah, it's a big family. So they're going to be playing a show at Quebec City's Colisée Pepsi. So like... French Canadian. By the way, never trust a French Canadian.
Jeez.
What do you mean? You guys ever been to French Canada?
That's hella racist.
No, it's not. There's French Canadians of all different genres and types and.
Why you gotta be stereotyping, bro?
Man, because French Canadian people are ass.
PC
hey, bro,
principle,
you
bro.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
Some French Canadian guy's gonna show up on my door and go, I heard what you
Caitlyn
said.
Caitlyn Jenner
podcast.
Is a hero.
What?
Watch the new South Park, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can go, and this is like, I guarantee you this is going to be like a weird limited edition beer that people are going to be like wanting and buying and selling. 91,000 black contained like beer, Metallica beers are going to be distributed in French Canada. See?
Tim's going to French Canada.
I wonder if it's a special... You know, flavor of beer. It's got the same tinny taste as that snare drum sound on St. Anger.
You clown.
So it's a tanker truck full of the beer. They've got all kinds of cans of the beer. So get the beer while you can, because it's a collectible. Have you guys ever tried to collect a beer or cans? Keep like a can of soda or
no.
beer? When Pepsi was doing that Star Wars thing, like in the early 2000s, where you know when all the new Star Wars were coming out, the prequels, I tried to collect all the Pepsis that had, you know, all the different characters on them. Half of them just exploded in my closet, like 5 or 6 years later.
Harsh.
So it's hard to keep these. If you can get them, you know, in the spirit of old Metallica, just shotgun them all right there and just be like, all right, here's to the good Metallica. Just saying. Don't keep them. Just drink them.
Drink them. Smash them.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, we posted the Blabbermouth link to the interview we did with Randy Bly from Lamb of God talking about basically just launching into a diatribe about Donald Trump.
The quote was, Donald Trump.
I think it was, F that guy. He doesn't know the struggle of the common man or something along those lines.
You can go to the KSW page, KSW.com, to check it out.
There you go. Thanks, Kevin. Did you guys watch the second Republican debate this week at all?
I didn't, no.
On CNN?
I did not.
It's very, just a strange thing. Like, we got a lot of stuff going on.
Were the hard questions addressed or not at all?
I get the feeling that, like, I should probably stop asserting my political opinion because of how huge that Donald Trump backlash was. People are going to go, you don't like Donald Trump? I'm never listening to this again.
There's a lot of supporters.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. But basically, Corey Taylor went...
Sigh.
Has been, you know, he spoke his mind too. And obviously, over the next 18 months, before the election happens, we're going to hear more and more of this from, quote, important people in the metal scene or community or whatever, because people are going to start asking. So what did he say? He said, everybody BS themselves into thinking that, oh, the worst of it's in the future. No, we're living it. You know, like, God, it sucks. The fact that Donald Trump is a real candidate for the presidency of the United States of fucking America. Are you kidding me? Okay, at this point, let's just nominate Emo Phillips, too. And Pauly Shore, 2020.
Michael Richards, Kramer for Perez.
Oh, my God. Ugh. So, I mean, obviously, Corey Taylor's kind of outspoken. He's written a bunch of books. He just wrote a book called You're Making Me Hate You. So, yeah.
And his stand-up is great, too.
As I mentioned, after the first CNN debate, again, 50% of people who were polled after the debate said that Donald Trump won. Out of all 11 people, 50% of them. Yeah, it's just crazy. That's going to be the case, dude. Donald Trump's going to be the nomination.
Idiocracy.
He had 50%. The second person behind him was Ben Carson with like 9%.
Tight.
So Donald Trump could be the president of the United States. This is not a joke. Not a joke.
I'm like Dr. Hibbert from Simpsons. I just laugh when I get uncomfortable.
This next article is kind of a bummer, talking about how when Kerry King was sitting down with Jeff Hanneman, who passed away a couple years ago, obviously, from complications to a spider bite and, you know, necrotizing fasciitis in his arm that, like, ate half his arm off.
Such a metal way to die!
Basically, he said, you know, obviously they were rooting for Jeff, saying, you know, obviously hoping for him to get better and better and so on and so forth. Kerry King went on to, you know, they had to sit down at some point and say, all right, are you going to be able to do Slayer or not? Because it's a business decision also. You know, Jeff Hanneman's not the only one in the band, you know?
Yeah.
So he goes on to say, and they sat down and said, you know, from like 7 months after Jeff got hurt, we had him come to rehearsal before every tour trying to get him back in. He was trying, but he just wasn't there. The hardest thing I ever had to say was, you're not ready. That dude's been my sidekick for 25 years, and I have to tell him he can't go on tour in the band he's been in all his life. That sucked. So, you know, obviously,
yeah, that's a bummer.
Jeff Hanneman went on to die from cirrhosis of the liver because he was a party animal, and it doesn't help when your body's trying to fight a deadly toxin.
Yeah.
That's threatening you.
His immune system was already pretty goddamn damaged.
And he probably just wanted to have a beer. I would if I was him, you know. Can I just get a Heine? My arm's rotting off. Can I get a beer, please?
Rest in peace, Hanneman.
Man, this quote is just rough, man. Asked if Jeff was hurt by that, Kerry, or by the comment saying that he wasn't ready to be back in the band. Kerry King said, I don't know, it's tough. My whole thing was Gary Holt had been with us and been out touring with us for however long it was at that point, and he's spot on money. And I said to Jeff, as much as people are going to see you up there and not grasp or forget that maybe the playing is not perfect, I don't want that on YouTube for you to live with for the rest of your life. You have to think about stupid like that now. But it was tough. We kept trying to get him in, and it just wasn't coming around. If he hadn't passed, I don't know if he would have ever been good enough to just step back into being Jeff Hanneman again, which is really heartbreaking. But at the same time,
part of my spidey sense is going off kind of when I hear Kerry King talk about that, because the first thing that said it to me was when he said, this dude's been my sidekick for 25 years.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, so you're the superhero and he's your sidekick?
That's like, what I was getting at, man. You know, it's...
So now you're going to be the one who tells him, sorry, you can't be around?
Yeah.
It kind of just speaks to the fact that Kerry King pretty much kind of just thinks that he's Slayer. I don't know. You know, it's hard to speak to, but it's just kind of the first thing that jumps out at me.
I always thought of Jeff as Slayer.
And so it's like, you, dude, we don't want you to have to live with that on YouTube. And he fucking died like 9 months after that. So it's like, who's really, are you really worried about Jeff Hanneman's legacy, or are you worried about you
in
and your band?
The future of your band.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man. I don't know.
It could have just been a wrong word to say.
Right.
With sidekick,
you know, obviously, it's just we're taking that out of context, out of an interview, but.
At the same time, I feel you. I understand.
All I'm saying is I hope that the Jeff Hanneman material surfaces, the stuff he recorded before they died, because he said that he didn't include any of it on the new record. Like, none of his playing is on the new record, so.
Damn.
We'll find out.
All right, here on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, we like to dig a little deeper into the realm of the insane. This week on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, Too Hot for Radio, Brutal Poetry, we recite lyrics to Cannibal Corpse's I Blood. Thanks a lot, Chris Barnes. This is off of Tomb of the Mutilated, 1992. Ian, take it away with Cannibal Corpse.
Swollen with liquid, ready to burst, a load of my lymph will quench this dead body's thirst. 1 month in the grave, twisted and half decayed, she turned a putrid yellow. I pissed in her maggot-filled ass. F***ing the rotting. My semen is bleeding. The smell of decay seeps from her genital cavity.
Cavity.
The smell was unbearable as I unburied her. I cum blood from my erection. I feel it run down her throat, swallow. Eyes
Jesus
glassy
Christ.
And vacant, body dug up to play with. Skin greasy and naked, tonguing her rotted anus. I need a live woman to fill with my fluid. A delicate girl to mutilate, f*** and kill. Her body exceptional, she thought I was normal, but I wanted more. I keep blood inside of her. Choking on the clot, gagging on the snot. Gushing blood from her mouth. Bloody gel leaking out. Body buried in a shallow grave.
Keep going.
Unmarked for none to find. The sickness I have left behind. Undetected go my crimes, the greatest thrill of my life. To slit my own with a knife.
What the f***?
Jesus.
You had to go there with the BME body modification stabbing. Ew.
Snap it out, bitch.
All right, thanks a lot. Spend Metal Shop's Backstage Pass appropriate for 69. Some real graphic bullshit.
Go Hawks.
Go Cubs.
See you guys next week. Thanks again for listening. This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Bye.
Ooh, yeah.
Real recognizes real.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.